From Spark and Anvil and Stageforge, this is the Opening Night Company, in Chapter 1 of the Stageforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. It was 3 days before opening night, and Sumi's scene was a disaster. She stood alone in the middle of the big Stageforge rehearsal hall, script trembling in her paws, while 6 pairs of eyes watched kindly from the shadows. Curtin, the dance, no, the theater leader, sat at the very back where every voice had to reach, and ranged along the front row sat the 5 of them, Face with her mirror, Yearn leaning forward on her cord and ring, Undertow calm behind her 2-layered jar, Freeze holding utterly still with her empty frame, and Hitch, unhurried, his slow brass metronome egg ticking softly at his side. "I've tried everything," Sumi said, near tears. "I set the lines louder, I made my face bigger, I moved around more, and it's still flat, and it's still confusing, and opening night is in 3 days, and I'm going to get up there and freeze, and everyone will see me fail." Her whiskers shook. "It's broken all over, I don't even know where to start." Curtin's voice floated gently from the back of the hall. "Nothing is broken all over. It only feels that way because you're trying to fix 5 things at once." A pause. "You have 5 friends here, and each of them mends 1 thing. Take it 1 craft at a time. Face, you first." Face rose, mirror and paw, and came to stand beside the little mouse. "Before anything else, who are you in this scene?" she asked. "Not the lines. The person. What's her voice like? How does she move? What's she feeling underneath?" "She's asking her friend not to leave," Sumi said. "She's scared and sad." "Then let's build her," said Face. She shifted her own voice lower, her own body softer and more hunched, letting a real ache into her eyes, becoming the frightened friend for a moment, then handed the feeling back. "Voice plus body plus inside feeling. Don't show me scared and sad with a big face. Become her. Let her voice be small because she's frightened. Her body lean in because she can't bear the distance." Sumi tried it, and at once she stopped looking like a mouse reciting and started looking like a girl who was afraid.
But Yearn was already leaning so far forward on her cord and ring that she nearly tipped off the front row.
"Good, but what does she want?" she called. "Being scared and sad isn't enough. Feelings just sit there. A want moves."
"She wants her friend to stay," Sumi said. "Really badly. It's the last chance."
"Desperately," Yearn said, hooking Sumi's finger through the little ring. "Everything's riding on it. Now, every line, pull toward your friend, like the words are trying to reel her back."
Face stood close on one side, holding the who, Yearn on the other, holding the want. Character and want working as a pair. And when Sumi ran the lines again, small frightened voice, whole body reaching, every word a tug, the scene stopped being flat. It ached.
"Oh," Sumi breathed, "it's not flat anymore."
"One craft at a time," Curtin murmured from the dark. "Undertow?" Undertow rose without hurry, and set her 2-layered jar on the floor where Sumi could see the gold oil and the deep blue water sliding opposite ways. "It aches now," she agreed in her slow, deep voice, "but you're putting all of it on the surface. Watch the jar. Words on top, feeling underneath. They can flow different ways." She tilted it. "Your big line is, please, just go. I'll be fine." On the surface, she's letting her friend off the hook, being brave, being kind. But underneath, she's begging her to stay, Sumi said slowly. "The opposite."
"The opposite," Undertow said, pleased. "So don't say, I'll be fine, all trembling and desperate. That splashes the deep feeling up onto the surface and turns it to mud. Say it almost steady, kind, brave on top, and underneath, genuinely feel how much it's costing her to say it. Don't show the cost. Just have it, quietly, in the deep layer. Trust us to feel the pull."
Sumi said the line, "Please, just go, I'll be fine," gentle and almost steady on top, while letting the real desperation sit unspoken underneath. And the whole hall went quiet, because everyone heard both at once, the brave words and the breaking heart beneath them. She hadn't twisted her face at all. "That's the truest thing you've done yet," Undertow said, "and you did it by feeling more and showing less." But Freeze was already on her feet, empty frame lifted to one eye, squinting at the scene. "It sounds right," she said, "but it doesn't look like anything yet. It's just a mouse standing in the middle of the floor talking. Where's the picture?" She began arranging them. "When you say the big line, don't wander. Hold. You, Sumi, reaching toward your friend, freeze there, on that word, like a held photograph. Everyone in the hall should be able to read the whole story in that one still image. The small one reaching, the other already turned to go." She stepped back, framed it, nodded. "That's a tableau. A held picture says more than a minute of moving around." And Hitch, of course, took his slow time standing, his metronome egg ticking. "And when she holds it," he said, "is everything." He set the egg going, calm and even. "Right now you rush the big line. You're nervous, so you sprint through it to get it over with. But the power is in the pause. Leave a silence before, please, just go, so the audience leans in. Then say it. Then hold Freeze's picture one full beat in the quiet, and let it land. Don't fill the silence. The pause is the frame around the important thing." Picture and timing working as a pair. Freeze shaping the held image, Hitch deciding exactly how long it breathed. Sumi tried it. A held silence, the brave sad line, the frozen reaching picture, one long beat of quiet, and it was suddenly devastating, beautiful, alive.
Sumi became the frightened friend, voice small, body reaching, face. Every line tugged toward the friend she couldn't bear to lose. Yearn. The brave words rode on a hidden, unspoken ache. Undertow. And at the peak, she paused. A held, scary silence. Hitch. Then spoke, then froze into a single reaching picture the whole hall could read. Freeze. And held it, breathing one full beat before she melted out of it and the scene closed. For a moment, nobody in the rehearsal hall said anything at all. Then Curtin's voice came soft from the very back, carried clear all the way to the front. "There it is." Sumi blinked, half laughing, half crying. "It came alive, but I didn't do anything huge. Each of you only fixed one small thing." "That's the whole secret of putting on a scene," Faith said, and the five of them gathered close around the little mouse. "No one craft carries it. Character without a want is flat. A want without subtext is obvious. Subtext without a picture is invisible. A picture without timing is dead. Each of us holds one piece and trusts the others to hold theirs. The scene comes alive in the place where all five pull together." That night, before the others left, Sumi lingered by the front row, where Hitch's brass egg still ticked its patient time. "It's opening night in 3 days," she admitted quietly, "and I'm still scared. What if I get up there and my mind goes blank in front of everyone?" And here, gently, all five of them answered, because every one of their crafts had a hand to hold out to a frightened performer.
"If your voice goes thin, breathe low and let it carry anyway," said Face, and from the back, Rafter's lesson echoed in her. "Nerves squeeze everyone's breath. Go on anyway." "If your mind goes white," said Yearn, "you'll still know what your character wants. Hold the want. Your body will follow it while your head catches up." "If the fear rises," said Undertow, "let it sit in the deep layer with the rest of the feeling. The audience will just read it as your characters. Nerves under the words are still true feeling under the words." "If you truly freeze," said Freeze, lifting her frame, "then freeze on purpose. Breathe. Hold the picture. Nobody can tell a chosen stillness from a scared one if you own it. let it look like a held moment until the line comes back.
And if you forget entirely, said Hitch, with a slow, warm pause, a calm silence looks exactly like a dramatic one. Take the pause. The audience will wait with you. Slowness buys you room to remember.
Curtin's voice reached them one last time from the dark hall. Every performer who ever lived has felt what you feel now. The trick was never not being scared. It's being scared and stepping into the light anyway, with your five crafts and your friends around you. That's not fearlessness. That's courage. That's the whole art.
Sumi looked around at the five of them, character, want, hidden feeling, held picture, and timing, and felt the 3 days away terror settle into something warm and steady and almost eager. The calm of knowing she wouldn't be up there alone, that each craft was a friend she could reach for, and that a scene, like a fear, is easier to hold when you take it one piece at a time, together.
One craft at a time, she said softly. All of them, together.
There it is, said Curtin.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to the Opening Night Company. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.